Welcome to Have You Heard. Have You Heard is a weekly discussion with musicians and people that just love music, where we get to ask you, hey, have you heard? Each week, Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer will discuss their favorite music or the music other musicians and artists simply couldn't live without. Find and explore new favorite music you didn't know you loved with hosts Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer. Welcome to Have You Heard. Means when you hear J&K plus six, it's trombone night here on Have You Heard. And boy, have I got some really great trombone stuff for you. And it's not just random trombone stuff. It's very specific stuff because tonight we're going to be playing music that you are going to be able to hear live at the Jazz Kitchen on October 23rd, 7 to 10 p.m. with a brand new trombone group from right here in Indianapolis called Bon Appetit. That's B-O-N-E-A-P-P-E-T-I-T. Bon Appetit. Clever, eh? It just so happens that I am a member of this group, and I've been asked to help with some of the promotion. So here we are. I hope you'll forgive me for my transgressions. But as you may know, as a radio host and or jazz trombone player, I don't make any money. So I'm not getting rich off this scheme, people. I just want to sell good trombone music to you. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, this is a fun band. There are six trombones, piano, guitar, bass, and drums. Six trombones. It's led by a gentleman by the name of Rick Balick. He's the leader, and he designates himself as the old man of the group, although he's not that old. Doesn't even look that old. He looks younger than me. And Freddie Mendoza is the music director, the jazz trombone instructor at the Ball State University in the Muncie. And we have John Huntoon playing trombone, myself, Ryan Fraley, and how could I forget Mr. Chris Van Hoff, the new trombone professor also at Ball State. So it's been a pleasure getting to know these guys. We've been rehearsing off and on about once a month for almost a year now. And I remember several years ago, it was a New Year's Eve party at the Palladium. I was playing with this great party band, a wedding band, corporate function band, called the Impalas. And this guy came up to me. He was like, hey, Rich, you're Rich Dole, right? I'm like, yeah, I am. I mean, it's not unusual. Yes, it is. It is unusual for people to come up to me at a event like that. And but he was like, yeah, I really like your playing, and I'm gonna put together a trombone group one of these days, you know, like the Capitol Bones out of DC or Boneheads out of Las Vegas. I'm like, cool, hey man, keep me in mind, here's my information. And I didn't think anything of it. I mean, not that I didn't trust this guy, but I didn't know him. And I wasn't sure where this was going to go. So I just kind of left it at that. And lo and behold, I get a phone call. It was quite a bit later, actually. It was maybe almost a year later, I got a phone call. And it was this guy, Rick Balick, said, I'm putting that trombone group together. And it took me a while to remember just exactly what I was agreeing to. I was like, wait a minute. Are you the guy who talked to me at the Palladium on Christmas Eve in 2000 whatever? He was like, yeah. Okay, well, here we go. So now the band, Bon Appetit, we have our first gig coming up October 23rd at the Jazz Kitchen. And it's a Tuesday night. And I don't know, Tuesdays and trombone gigs seem to go well in my life. And so I think I've been playing just about every Tuesday since about 1997, 98 maybe. 20 years. There's been entire TV shows that have come and gone on Tuesday nights, and I have no idea what happens. If there's a sporting event Tuesday night, I don't know about it. There's a cool TV show on, I don't know about it. But if there's a good gig, I'm on it. And that's how it has been for the last 20 years. So so as you can imagine, trombone groups are a lot of fun. And a little bit later in the program, you'll hear an interview that I did with Rick and Freddie after our last rehearsal. And so we kind of get a little bit more history on the two of them and a trombone group in general. But trombone players, if you know any of us, you know that we're kind of laid back people. We're relaxed. We're not the cut ups of the class, right? Trumpet players usually take that role, the clowns. They are always joking around. They want to be noticed. And that's why they play the trumpet. You don't play the trombone to get noticed, but you have a deep sense of subtlety. You're in the middle of the jazz band. You're at the back of an orchestra, the side of a concert band. And so you kind of develop this sense of you're there, but you're kind of not really noticed. And so you can get away with some pretty funny things that happen. So trombone players in general have a great sense of humor. They are almost without exception super reliable people. I can't think of any trombone player that I couldn't call right now to come and help me take care of something at the house, on a gig. I mean, there've been times when I've been in a different city. There's been times, people, let me tell you, when I've been in a different country and I needed a trombone and the trombone players came through, right? So 2008, I believe the Smithsonian went to Egypt and my giant case that had my tuxedo, it had some mutes in it, and my trombone case within a case, a case within a case. It didn't make it to Egypt in time. It finally made it for this tour. And we go to the first rehearsal at the Cairo Opera Hall on Zamalek Island and in the middle of the Nile. And we asked one of the people, there's the whole, you know, some people were, the management were there, some musicians were there. And the manager of the Smithsonian Jazz Masterworks Orchestra went to one of them and said, you know, we need a trombone. A trombone got lost in the mix. I wasn't nervous. I knew that it was whatever. Either get a new trombone out of it or mine would arrive eventually. So this person asked an Egyptian who worked at the hall if we could get a trombone. 30 minutes later, four trombone players show up with their instruments. I kid you not. And I'm still friends with them. A couple of them I'm still friends with on Facebook. And I keep in touch with everybody through a couple of the people that are still on, that can still access Facebook. But these guys came through like that. And I played Wales. His name is Whale. I played his trombone for the first couple concerts out. One was out in front of the Sphinx. Another one was for a private party at the ambassador's house. And all over the world, trombone players, they're going to have your back. That's the kind of people we are. We also have a great sense of humor, if I may say so. And so with that in mind, I'd like to play a pretty fun tune with a great title. This is from the Las Vegas Boneheads, and it's from their album. It's the tune. It's the same title as the album, and it's called Attack of the Wind-Driven Pitch Approximators. Las Vegas Boneheads. That's the Las Vegas Boneheads, Attack of the Wind-Driven Pitch Approximators, otherwise known as the trombone. The theme tonight on Have You Heard? Thank you for tuning in. You may have noticed that it's only I, Rich Dole, hosting you tonight. Now, it always seems that every time we're going to do a trombone-themed show, Matthew Altizer is unavailable. I'm out of town. I'm busy. I can't come in. I'm sick. I got this work thing. I got a family. I don't like trombones. Whatever excuse that he has, he comes up with it. Every single time we're going to do a trombone-themed show, which makes me think, I don't know, do I not do any more trombone-themed shows? Or do I do all trombone-themed shows? Let me know what you think I should do, hyhjazz@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz. You can also find our website, which is like kind of like a podcast, where we archive a whole bunch of our old shows at haveyouheardjazz.com. Now, as you can tell, you know, all great players in the Las Vegas Boneheads. Clever name, clever title. And you know, trombone players being stuck in the middle of the band many times don't get great things to play. And so we take it upon ourselves to write good music. Now, if you went through jazz history and maybe even classical and found out what instruments your favorite composers and or arrangers played, you might be surprised that many of them were trombone players. So we sit in the middle of the band, we hear the melody going on all around us, we hear it's easy access to the rhythm section, the bass and the piano and guitar right there, and we're kind of in the same range as the guitar and where the piano is playing. And we have a lot of the inner parts, a lot of the intricate harmonic parts. So as we're sitting there enjoying all the melodies going on around us, we're playing the interesting things in the middle, the meat of the sandwich, if you will. And it's not surprising that people like Nelson Riddle come out and start writing, right? It's not surprising that people like Brent Wallerab come out and start writing. Every time I meet a trombone player, I know that they're writing music. Jim Beckel, former principal trombone of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, a great composer. He has music being played all over the country. You know, so trombone players, we're in the mix. We're giving ourselves things to play, which is what we have to do. And speaking of playing things, I'd like to stick with the Las Vegas Boneheads. And I want to play a couple tunes here, a couple arrangements of pretty famous jazz tunes from the big band era or post-big band era, I suppose, in the 50s. And this is Janine. First, we're going to play Janine, which is kind of a great, it's a great tune, kind of a hit from the Duke Pearson Orchestra, followed by Springsville, which if you're familiar with any Gil Evans and Miles Davis type recordings, you know Springsville. So these are great players playing great arrangements on a great instrument. It's Trombone Night right here on Have You Heard. This is the Las Vegas Boneheads with Janine and Springsville.
Thank you.
Springsville. Before that, that was Janine, both by the Las Vegas Boneheads. These are tunes that you can hear October 23rd at The Jazz Kitchen. For more information, please visit thejazzkitchen.com. Give them a call, 317-253-4900. We're hoping it fills up. Who knows? For more information about the band, Bon Appetit, you can visit our website. It's bonappetitindy.com. BonAppetitIndy.com. BoneAppetit.com. Now, as promised, I said I had an interview with the leaders of this fine ensemble, of which I am privileged to be a member. And I'm just going to go ahead and play that interview for you right now. Okay, Rich, take it away. We've been listening to trombone music, the music that Bon Appetit is going to be playing October 23rd at the Jazz Kitchen. And I'm joined, as promised, with the leaders of the band, the artistic and the musical director, the executive director, the director of directing. All the directors are here, Freddie Mendoza and Rick Balick. Thanks, guys, for being here. Rick, you're the person that put all of this together and that has the books. How did all this come together, and how long have you been doing stuff like this?
Well, thanks, Rich. Been doing this for quite a while, but sort of resurrecting the book. I played in a group like this, actually 8 trombones, 1 bass trombone. That was me up in Detroit in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. And the leader of the band was a bass player. And basically, he just, you know, he started a family and he took a back step. And I said, hey, would you like to sell some of your book? And he said, you know, I could use the cash. So sure. So he sold me many of the charts. And I used that as the foundation of the book that we have today. And then I added charts as we went along from various groups of the same idiom, like the Capitol Bones in D.C., Las Vegas Boneheads, Brass Connection up in Canada, the Maniacal Four, and the many others.
Now, when you took quite a hiatus from playing for a while, didn't you? Or
yeah, I took a hiatus. I've been in Indianapolis now about 22 years. I've been playing in many area big bands, but as some people have personal challenges, I had a personal challenge. I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And then the focus was to, I couldn't play just, you know, with the treatments I was getting. And so I took about 3.5 years off and sort of still on the road to recovery as far as the chops are concerned. I'm very blessed. I've been in remission the last few years, but literally not putting a horn to my face for 3.5 years, you know, wow, took a toll. And so I'm still getting the stamina back, but, you know, still getting there.
Well, I'm glad that you're in remission. I didn't know about that. so I'm very happy that things are on the path forward,
yeah,
path
Thank
up.
You.
When you were thinking of putting this band back together, mm-hmm, here in Indianapolis, what were your first steps in doing that? I remember that was like New Year's, like a couple of years ago. You came up to me at the Palladium.
Yeah, you were playing, and I was dancing with my wife on the stage.
You're like, I'm going to put a trombone band together. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
All right. You know, and then all of a sudden, I get a phone call, and it's like, yeah, it's happening. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good memory, Rich. And it was basically filling out the book with some various types of arrangements, and it's a very diverse book, as you know. Everything from many different types of Latin, the straight-ahead jazz, to ballads, to even some rock tunes, which we'll eventually play as a group down the road. But, you know, I was doing that and bought a house, knocked down a wall, and made one room sort of a rehearsal room, a studio, put up a acoustic absorbing or sound absorbing acoustic foam, and picked up a drum kit, piano, and bass amp, and very, very blessed to be able to be part of what is, I think, something very unique in Indianapolis, and just amazing players on the band, and I'm blessed to be able to play with you guys.
Oh, man. Well, I know I can speak on behalf of
all of us that were happy to be playing together, and thanks for putting all this together.
You bet.
Now, so you're kind of like the operations manager of this beast, right?
Yeah, as the website says, you know, what leader, bass trombone, and old man of the band. So I fit the latter part pretty well.
Wow. And you have Freddie Mendoza's here as well.
Yeah.
And Freddie, you're kind of the musical director. You're guiding rehearsals and taking care of some of the musical bits. But what is it that that makes trombone a unique instrument that it works well in an ensemble? Because, I mean, you have, like, saxophone. There's, like, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. So it's a vocal group. But we have tenor, bass. So why does it work so well with, do you think, you know, with the trombone as opposed to trumpet? Nobody wants to listen to a trombone ensemble. Sorry, Trombomundi.
Nobody wants to listen to a trumpet ensemble. That's correct, Rich. but seriously, I think probably the thing that makes the trombone really well suited to this is the bass trombone, which is actually the instrument that you play. It allows us to form a true choir. Even though we don't really have sopranos, we basically cover the alto register, and the trombone music written for six or eight is, or really any combination of trombones, is very challenging because the lead parts, as we've seen rehearsed during rehearsals, the lead parts are often scored in the treble clef. So the trombone has the ability to work in a very high range. But of course, you have to have a certain amount of strength and flexibility to play in that range and make it sound nice and then stay up in that range. You have to have a lot of endurance. But with the bass trombone added, you know, we have a good 4.5-5 octaves of range that we can utilize. And so you can score a pretty nice wide range of chords that are not just condensed into one small space. And then the trombone itself is, since it's got a hand slide that can approximate, you know, very small fractions of pitch, microtones, as we call them, the notes that are in between the notes. And we have a very, I guess, sort of a natural ability with the instrument to play very well in tune, and we can adjust right there in the moment very easily with our hand slides. And then the trombone kind of sounds like the human voice because it has that ability to play all those microtones. So I think when you add all that together, it produces an aurally pleasing sound. And so trombone groups, as Rick mentioned, with all the groups that we're getting music from, it goes back, and it's a long history. And really, since jazz started, it didn't take very long, maybe 20 or 30 years before maybe the first group started to come out, and all the big greats have been a part of these groups: J.J. Johnson, Frank Rosolino, Carl Fontana, Curtis Fuller, Kai Winding, people like that. So if you search, there's all kinds of records: Tootie's Trombones, the Great American Trombone Company, the World of Trombones, Trombone World. I mean, you know, any way that you can make trombone and world put together. But they're great albums, and it's just a blast to play this type of music because it's very challenging. And but yeah, with the ability to make a choir, I think that goes a long way to being able to do something that doesn't just sound all the same all the time.
Right. Rick, when you've had this band, a similar type band in the past, have you found people that were not quite sure what to think of it, and then they were totally sold by the end of the gig? Or
yeah,
I mean, not players, but like audience members, that,
right?
What is a typical reaction of the audience member from this group?
Sure. Well, that, as in any audience, you're going to get people who are there that are true jazz aficionados, in this case, trombone players that want to hear excellent trombone players, and or rhythm section players and want to hear outstanding piano, bass, drums, etc. But you also get sort of John Q. Public, the non-educated, musically educated person. And while they all enjoy it, you know, they might clamor for a rock and roll tune, and it's up to you if you give it to them or not. And but it does bring, I will say it is such a unique type of band, in our case, five trombones, one bass trombone, piano, bass, drums, guitar, that people go in there, well, it's not a big band, it's not a trio, it's not a quartet, that, you know, this might be something just worth checking out. And it, when I was part of the group in Detroit, you know, we did the Montreux Jazz Detroit, a jazz festival in Detroit for many years, played different jazz clubs. They're all blown away with, as Freddie mentioned, just the course of it all. And how close the trombone as a brass instrument is to the human voice. It's just a beautiful thing when played correctly.
Yeah. And again, this is the band is called Bon Appetit. We're going to be at the Jazz Kitchen October 23rd, 7 to 10 p.m. For more information, you can go to thejazzkitchen.com to make your reservations there. And in the band, we have, it's a great trombone lineup. I mean, Indianapolis has a great trombone tradition and a great trombone history. And we have Freddie Mendoza on lead trombone lots of times. Chris Van Hoff, new trombone professor at Ball State, be playing lead trombone a little bit. Ryan Fraley, myself, John Huntoon, and on bass trombone, hold the foundation of the group. We should give you a nickname, Rick.
Oh, I have plenty of nicknames already, trust me.
Okay. On the bass trombone, and we have Scott Rutenberg, Patrick Wright on guitar, Scott is on piano, Jesse Whitman on bass, and Cassius Goins on drums. It's a really great ensemble. And I know there are a lot of great trombone players around here to choose from, but I think we have a pretty solid ensemble overall. And I really look forward to it. Is there I know sometimes like it's a different instrumentation. It sometimes takes a little bit of time for the ear to acclimate for the audience. So how can we help people listening in the audience to what to listen for? I mean, there's not going to be a screaming trumpet, you know, there's not fast moving saxophone keys, all those things. It's easy to do. But what's a good way to approach listening to this ensemble?
Well, I think once the audience gets over just the initial shock of seeing that many trombone players gathered in one location, I think one thing that's going to help is we're going to play some recognizable music that the audience may very well be familiar with, tunes like Autumn Leaves and My Favorite Things, Girl from Ipanema. Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most. We're doing a nice a cappella version of Pure Imagination from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So I think it helps to play tunes that come out of the Great American Songbook. But then, as you can imagine, there is a bunch of music that is original music that is written for trombone and rhythm, 9 times out of 10 written by trombone players. And so I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm not familiar with the history of Indianapolis going back a couple of decades, but as Rick said, I don't know how many trombone groups there have been for the city to actually see in performance. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes over. But as Rick said, it can be very exciting to get to see really the sound of this group. I mean, as everybody knows, trombone can certainly put out a lot of sound, but one of the challenges we face is to not do that and to really rein the volume in and make nice music. And so we're going to do our best. And we've been rehearsing really for the better part of the year, and usually about once a month. And I think it sounded pretty good. I think we're gonna be ready for Tuesday on the 23rd for sure.
Yeah. Not only, you know, we've been rehearsing, and as a choir, trombone sounds so good as a choir, as an ensemble. But everybody gets to step out and be a solo voice as well.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, going back like through big band, you know, you always have three or four trombones in a big band through the history, sometimes five. And, you know, everybody plays, they blend together, they make it work in the section. And then when somebody stands up, then their voice is heard. And I think that's going to be the fun, unique thing about this band is that everybody gets a say, and there's some really challenging stuff. And it's a lot of fun to play, for sure.
And our, and if you're familiar with our rhythm section players, I mean, they're some of the best in town, and they're all outstanding soloists. Scott Rottenberg is an amazing piano player, and I've seen him play many times at the Kitchen. I've played with him many times at the Kitchen, and he always seems to elicit a lot of applause from the audience when he performs. Cassius is a very exciting drummer to watch, and also is an outstanding soloist. Same for Jesse Whitman. So the and Patrick, these guys are around Indianapolis all the time working. So I think people that frequent the scene might recognize many of the people in the band. But yes, everybody's going to get a chance to be featured, certainly, and that's a wonderful blessing to have so many talented people to come together and put this together.
That's right. And with all the great solos in the rhythm section, it gives us a break.
Yes.
To like rest our chops for 32 or 64 or more bars. So again, that's October 23rd. You can go to the Jazz Kitchen, thejazzkitchen.com, for more information. And Rick, I just want to thank you for putting this together and always having a really comfortable rehearsal atmosphere. Rick has everything organized, all the books together, and he feeds us and waters us every month. So, Rick, thank you so much for everything that you do.
Oh, happy to do it.
And we'll see all of you at the Jazz Kitchen on Tuesday.
That's Tuesday, October 23rd at the Jazz Kitchen. For more information, thejazzkitchen.com, 317-253-4900, or you can visit BonAppetitIndie.com. Now, I'd like to play a tune, a part of a tune, arranged by a friend of mine from the University of Illinois. The University of Illinois has a great jazz trombone department led by Jim Pugh, and their trombone group, just like Bon Appetit, every time they go to a competition, they win that competition. All their music is original, and Rick, who you just heard, he seeks out these people who have written the great arrangements, and he offers to buy them. And they're, you know, college kids are more than happy to sell their arrangements to another trombone group. So this is what Rick does. He scours the interwebs for really great trombone arrangements, and then he finds the people and puts it in his book. So this is a tune called This Is a Test, and it's written by my friend Ben Carasquillo, really fine trombone player, and we're going to be playing this on Tuesday, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy playing it. Thank you. Beautiful tune by Ben Carrasquillo called This Is a Test, and it was recorded live, and so some great playing on there from the University of Illinois trombones. Kudos to Jim Pugh for having such a stellar department over there. Makes one think about things. You think about trombone in colleges and the future, stuff like that. Well, hey, we're going to play that tune along with everything else you've heard tonight at the Jazz Kitchen on October 23rd. We'd love to see you out. Please come up and say hi. I'll be there. I'll be the one with the trombone. And I'm not playing bass trombone. It's kind of fun. Rick is the exclusive bass trombone player of this group, and so I get to really concentrate on playing some lead stuff on and some middle parts. I have volunteered to play lead on a couple tunes, and it's quite painful, but I'm going to make sure it doesn't sound painful. How about that? Well, we're going to end with a tune. Freddie in our interview talked about how we do play tunes that you're going to be familiar with. So one of the tunes that we play that I know you're familiar with is called My Favorite Things, right? Now, if you have any other version in your head, get it out of your head right now, because this version by the Capitol Bones, which is out of Washington, D.C. This is, how we say, not like anything else. And this is what the great thing, this is what trombone players do. We sit around and think, well, that's a nice tune. How can we make it different? And how can we make it more exciting? And how can we make it so it's you don't ever think about the sound of music ever again after you hear this tune the way we're going to do it? That's what trombone players do. You know, it's very subtle. We're very subtle people, right? So I'm going to play this, My Favorite Things, to end the show. And then you're going to tell me on Tuesday night what you thought of it. And if you ever are going to hear another My Favorite Things like it again, and you're probably not going to. So this is a group out of Washington, D.C. called the Capitol Bones. And it's the old jazz standard, My Favorite Things. This is something we're going to be playing Tuesday night at the Jazz Kitchen. We really hope to see you there. Thank you for indulging the trombone night here on Have You Heard? And maybe I'll have Matthew Altizer back again. We'll probably do some non-trombone stuff in the near future. So here it is, My Favorite Things. Have a good night. Have You Heard is recorded and produced by Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer in the studios of WICR. The theme music is by Brent Wallerab from the BWJO album, Mezzanine. Feel free to follow us on Facebook.com/Have You Heard Jazz, and do join us next Wednesday for another exciting installment of Have You Heard.